in order to save the pure Muhammadan Islam. We can see these martyrs have a high rank, and obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns the things in a good way. He rewards people in the best way, and that is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we can see that so-called superpowers who call themselves as a superpower, no one can obviously compete them. We can see that a small Muslim country, which is the Islamic Revolution of Iran, which is the Iranian nation, they, with the help of Islam, could do that. And they are the enemies of all these oppressors and the rebels in the world.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones, and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period, as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days. Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and a full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, what, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's a story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses. Creating an optical illusion of a giant mural, the project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that social stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth, an Antaria, was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great market impact from this showcase, we successfully have performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to four cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The four were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for two reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbok Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but There were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged.
Often, it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know? Because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk, as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa Al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is our dear friend Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today's session will be a continuation of the previous session's topic of why is it that in Islam the punishment for apostasy is the death penalty. We concluded last time in our short session that not all cases of apostasy are treated with the death penalty, and we also proved through the Quran and the verses of the Quran that Islam is in support of freedom of religion and freedom of thought and speech. So, dear Sheikh, please continue the discussion.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. After referring to these verses that you mentioned regarding the principle of freedom of thought and freedom of choosing religion in the Quran, I began to answer the main question of the show, and that is why then Islam has such a penalty
right.
for apostasy, like death penalty for some of the cases at least. I refer to the first answer, and I need to complete that. I mentioned that unfortunately in many cases when especially the Christians, when they accuse of Islam regarding some of the penalties, they forget about
and savage and very yeah. unforgiving.
Yeah, and also the Jews, they forget about those verses mentioned in the Bible right. regarding the same sins.
So it's a hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Right.
A kind of double standard. So let me also mention, for example, the case of homosexuality. I mean, the verses of the Bible regarding homosexuality are very explicit, and the penalties that are mentioned there. When it comes to verses of jihad in the Noble Book of Quran, then we can, when we refer to the Bible, I mean, the violence as mentioned in the Bible
right.
is by far much more than what is right. mentioned in the Quran, of course.
And their crusades and holy war.
Yeah, right. exactly. It doesn't mean that we agree that all these verses are divine, and I mean, they of were course. Mentioned by Moses, as for example, go to that city and burn into the whole city and right. animals and
right,
the children.
Right.
We do not believe in that,
of
but the point
not.
Is that Jewish people, Christian people, neglect these verses in their own scripture, and then they just come to accuse the religion of Islam.
Without understanding why it is so.
Yeah, and when right. it comes to apostasy, we have somehow similar verses. For example, it's been mentioned in the Old Testament that those people who abandon their religion, they must be killed. It's been mentioned that according to the Bible, a person, one of the children of Israel, in his debate with another people, said some bad words against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which
right.
somehow showed disbelief. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam sentenced him to death. So these are some of the verses mentioned in the Bible. At least those people who want to accuse Islam, it might be beneficial for them to study Bible before that as well.
Right.
And now we putting aside what other religions say about the punishment of apostasy.
Well, let's answer why we have this in our
exactly.
religion. Because some may be atheists that also say, well, the Bible is completely wrong.
That's the point.
Right. So what do we say as Muslims then?
There are different answers to this question. First of all, some people have explained in this way. They say that freedom of choosing a religion and freedom of thought is up to the level and the stage that you're going to choose a religion. So, I mean, you are mature and now you want to decide about your religion. You are free to study about different religions.
Right.
And even you may not believe in Islam. But if you come to this understanding and to this certainty that I need to believe in the religion of Islam.
Right.
If this is the case, then you need to follow the Islamic laws as well. And
naturally.
One
makes sense. Naturally,
yeah.
you need to follow the
yeah.
laws as well.
And one of the Islamic laws of Islam is that, I mean, publicly you are not allowed to announce that, for example, I'm going to convert to another religion and follow another religion and invite other people to that religion.
Right.
So this is one of the answers. It's not a very strong answer, but it's one of the answers mentioned by a group of scholars that freedom of choosing a religion is before your decision. But as soon as you decide, then you need to be loyal to all the laws, as mentioned.
Even if, dear Sheikh, you decide to become a Christian, you then have to stay a Christian?
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, did you ask me?
Yes. If you are you choose to become a Christian, do you have to stay a Christian?
No. According to the religion of Islam, no.
Right. Okay.
Then that those people may consider the
right.
Because
we believe
laws.
Islam is the right religion, so
yeah.
you must come
we
to
We will
Islam.
Come to a logical answer to this question, which proves that at any stage people are free to choose the religion. Because
right.
today I may come to new arguments that yesterday I was not aware of.
Right.
And based on them, maybe I come to this conclusion that I cannot be Christian anymore, or even I cannot be Muslim anymore.
Right.
Am I not allowed? We believe that, yes, you are allowed, but within some limitation and condition that I will mention in the following answers. So the first answer is that it is like accepting the citizenship of a country, for example.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
right.
Before going to a country, you may be allowed to choose different countries to go. But as soon as you go to a country and you accept, and I mean, now you're the citizen of that country, then you need to, be loyal to all the laws of that country.
Right, right.
So they make such a comparison that before going to that country, you were free to choose which country that you're going to. But now you're in that country, and now then you have to follow the laws.
Yeah, there's a whole ceremony and getting the citizenship, and you have to sing the national anthem, and there's a whole process.
Exactly.
And you need to swear fealty, loyalty, allegiance to your country.
And from that time onward, you need to follow all the laws of that country.
Of course.
You cannot say that, okay, from today I would like to follow the laws of the other country.
Right. No, and if you reject their laws, you actually get kicked out from the country. You have your citizenship revoked.
Before that, you had the option to choose that country, but now you have chosen this country, then you need to follow the laws.
Right.
So they make this comparison that yes, before accepting the religion of Islam, you had different options, but now you have accepted the religion of Islam, and you need to act upon the Islamic laws.
Right, makes sense, right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Insha'Allah, you'll find your way. And then the second answer is that the punishment for apostasy is for preserving the ethical and theological and political safety of an Islamic government. And I believe this is the main answer to this question. When we refer to the books of the interpretation of the Noble Book of Quran and some of the verses about apostasy, we see that, for example, it's been mentioned in chapter Ali Imran, verse 72, that some Jews, they made a plan, or rather a conspiracy against the religion of Islam.
Right.
They said that, okay, we go to the public in the morning and we say that we come to this conclusion that Islam is the true path, and we are going to convert to the religion of Islam.
Right.
But at the evening, we mentioned that, no, we are not Muslim anymore. We go back to our previous religion, that is Judaism.
So they spread misinformation and dissent, basically.
Yeah, and conclusion and the result? The result for that, for those people who wanted to study and search about the religion of Islam, was that, okay, yesterday a group of Jews, they changed their religion, but at evening, they came to this conclusion that it's not a true path.
Already, right.
So it was a conspiracy by the Jews. So to negate that, Islam mentioned that you are not allowed to do that. If you accept the religion of Islam and now you want to leave that, then this is the penalty. This is the punishment. So this is the point. The point is that when we talk about the punishment of apostasy, we are talking about a specific situation. We are talking about an Islamic government. And when we talk about an Islamic government, it means that the majority of the people, they are Muslims.
Right.
Let's talk about, for example, Islamic Republic of Iran. The great majority of the people are Muslim. They have voted for Islam to be the base and the source of the constitution.
Right.
And now imagine that some people, they announce they are Muslim, and now they announce that they are not Muslim anymore. They are Christian from today, and they begin to,
preach
about the new religion.
Right.
So for sure it will bring about a kind of chaos in an Islamic country, in an Islamic government, in which the great majority of the people have voted for Islam.
It leads to instability in the country.
Yeah. And so we can imagine that, for example, in a Western country, a group of people or a movement, they try to,
reject, because in the Western countries, instead of religion, they value democracy a lot. So imagine a group in a Western country, democratic country, suddenly announced that we accept communism.
Exactly, that's
and
the point.
And we've seen what happened before with the Cold War and how much they rejected communism.
Yeah, and they will be rejected but by both the government and the majority of the people who give value to democracy.
Right. The communists are actually prosecuted in the United States because of their beliefs.
Many examples of that in our today's world.
Right.
So this is the point. If Islam says that, this is the punishment for apostasy,
right.
It is, according to the understanding of many scholars, it is from the time that people decide to preach their idea among other people. But within themselves, in their privacy, people are free to choose any religion. If really a person tries his best to find the truth, he comes to his conclusion that Islam is the true path. Then he studies more and more, and then he may come to this conclusion that Christianity is the true path. According to the religion of Islam, he has to follow Christianity because this is his certainty today.
Right.
Otherwise, for any person, he needs to follow, first of all,
his
his conviction, and he needs to try his best to study about different religions and then act upon that. Okay, you have come to this conclusion, keep it with yourself, follow Christianity, but within an Islamic territory where the great majority of the people are Muslim and they have voted for Islam to be the source of constitution, you have no right to preach your idea. And other people have no right to spy on your privacy, search about what you are practicing inside your house.
The religion of Islam is very, very tolerable when you say that this is the ruling. Be a Christian after you've chosen Islam, no problem, just do not preach. And you said this, very important, in an Islamic society, which if the listener just sits a moment and then thinks, that means he can go to a Christian community and then preach, or go to a Christian church in an Islamic country and preach. Just don't do it to the Muslims.
Exactly, so that's the point. So with that, we come to this conclusion that the punishment for apostasy in Islam is to preserve, as I mentioned, the ethical and theological and political safety of the government and of the people. Apostasy is against the rights of other people who are the majority and they are Muslims. So, for example, as Muslim parent, I don't want a Christian person to come to my children and invite them to a religion other than Islam.
That's a good example, right?
We are living in an Islamic country. We want Islamic laws to be acted upon by all the people. So no follower of another religion. This is the viewpoint of the majority. This is based on democracy.
Right.
So when we talk about the penalty for apostasy, we can think of this final point that I mentioned. So just to wrap up the answer to this question, as long as you keep it yourself, you're allowed to change as many religions as you like.
Right.
It's based on your certainty and conviction. And on the day of judgment, you will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I tried my best, I came to this conclusion, then I changed because of that. Then it is you and Allah. It's whether you are able to convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and justify your beliefs.
Right.
So as long as you have it with yourself, keep it secret, you're free, even according to the religion of Islam. But when it comes to preach that publicly, then within an Islamic territory, you need to act upon the Islamic laws.
And on that note, dear Sheikh, we will have to end today's program. I thank you for your time, and I thank the dear listeners for tuning in.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraza. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on The Key, we would like to examine a question that often pops up in the minds of people. And that question is this. We know that the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, often ask the imams to heal them from sickness, from illness, from distress. Question that arises is this permissible? Or even before we ask the question of whether it's permissible or not, we have to ask, is this even possible? Is it possible for another human being to miraculously cure a human being who is ill? Obviously without the use of medicine and these kind of normal means of curement of these ailments. This is a question that we'd like to address today. We can answer this question in a number of ways. In a previous session, we answered this by examining some of the verses of the Holy Quran in which God Almighty mentions the fact that the Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, cured the blind and the lepers by the permission of God in a miraculous way. And that the Imams, being greater than the other Abrahamic prophets, were therefore also able to do this. But we can also address and answer this question in a more general fashion, and that's this, that we know that God Almighty is obviously the essential and sole creator of everything in this world. And every effect that takes place in this world obviously takes place in it by the permission of God. At the same time, God Almighty, He creates things. He creates things through certain means. There's a famous tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in which the Imam has said, "Aballah an yajri al ashya illa bil asbab." This tradition translates as God Almighty, He does not like to do things except through the suitable means. Obviously, when we say he doesn't like to do things except through certain means, it does not mean that it's possible for him to do things through without those means, but he doesn't want to, right? Because obviously here the intention that we're referring to, the intention of God, is not like the intention of a human being. Rather, we're talking about a cosmological intention. And this tradition seeks to indicate that not doing things through certain means is actually essentially and rationally impossible. These things have to occur through certain means, and those other means are part of the cause of those events and those effects that take place and are ultimately emanate from God. Now, these means through which God performs these tasks and does these things and creates these things are of two categories. It's possible for one effect to have a number of set of causes, for example, certain causes which we know about, and there's other causes which we might not know about and which are unseen and unknown to us. In the case of miracles, we would like to say, and we would say that these miracles, they don't break this rule of causation. Rather, it's an instance where an effect is procured and brought into being through a set of causes which we were unaware about until now, or which we didn't have awareness of. One of those means is the prayer that we make to these to the imams, alayhim assalam, and also their granting healment and well-being to the people who ask them for this. Thank you for joining us on The Key. We were looking at the power of the imams, alayhim assalam, to cure. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 21st, 2021. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our great listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. We hope you enjoy your autumn times, and of course, we wish you a very happy spring for those of our dear listeners who are living in the Southern Hemisphere. So please, keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because they enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Paul Makuza from Uganda, and Thomas Biliauskas from Lithuania. So Thomas, Mizanur Rahman, and Paul, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners around the world who have sent us emails from around the world, including Shivanta Bol from India, Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. Again, from India, we have an email from Mubashir Hussein Asher. From Spain, we have an email from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. And again, from India, we have an email from Mutaram Kaga. After a short break, I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Back. This is Listeners Special, and here we are emails and letters from around the world. And first of all, we start with an email from Shivandapol from India. Shivandapol is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from India. I am Shivandapol and I'm from Murshidabad, India. I am a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Now, your reception is moderate and the signal strength is good. I love your programs, news and current affairs program. I'm interested about culture, lifestyle of Iranian people, historical places, etc. My hobby is radio listening and collecting stamps, coin, QSL card, program schedule, stickers, badge, calendar and other items from international radio stations. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, from Tehran, Iran, to Shivandapol from India, and many thanks for sending us this great email. IRIB English Radio really appreciates you for sending us email from India, Shivandapol. Thank God you liked everything about our radio, IRIB English Radio. As you said, you enjoyed the quality of our program because you said the reception is moderate and the signal strength is good in your region. It seems that you love our programs, the news, the current affairs program, and you're interested about the culture and the lifestyle of Iranian people and historical places because we broadcast different programs, including Close Up Iran and many different programs about Iran at IRIB English Radio, and it seems that you liked it so much, and that's great. So you have the hobby of radio listening and collecting stamps, coin, QSL cards, program schedule, stickers, but unfortunately at the time of pandemic, we can't send our great listeners the souvenirs and the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. And at this time, we just can send you an EQSL card. Anyway, please accept it from us. And of course, after the pandemic, we will send our dear listeners promotional items of IRIB English Radio as before. Yes, we had the tradition of sending these items to our dear listeners, including the postcards with the monuments of Iran. But now we just send you EQSL cards. Please accept it from us. Anyway, thank you for writing this great email to us. Please tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails. Shivandapol from India. And from Brazil, we have an email from Fabricio Andrade Silva. So he says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from Brazil. I just wanted to remind you via this email to send me a QSL card. And that you do not need to send it via postal system. Just fill it up with my reception report information and send me a photo of it here by email. I'm quite fine with receiving an EQSL. I will be glad for that. Thanks, and have a nice day." Salam and warm greetings to you, Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. Yes, greetings from Iran to you. Thank you for understanding the situation. Yes, we will send you an EQSL card. Please accept it from us. Yes, thank you for accepting it. and we are so glad to have you with us. Write to us soon and tell us your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. So after a short break, I will be back with another email from India, from Mubashir Hussain Asher, one of our regular listeners. Welcome back. As I said, Mubashir Hussain Asher from India has sent us an email. He says, "Dear friends, me and my club members are very much interested in your programs. These programs give us full information regarding your country, Iran. We also would like to thank you for your informative and up-to-date website. It is a great website with great choice of programs, which enables us to listen to your radio online whenever we want. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mubashir Hussain Asher from India, and we send our appreciations to you for sending us this great email. And we're so glad to have you and your club members as our listeners. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as a confirmation, of course. So, you enjoy the programs, as you said. You get full information regarding our country, Iran. Yes, I think IRIB and IRIB English Radio, and of course, in general, IRIB is the best source for giving information about the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we hope you enjoy the programs. As you said, you find it informative. Thank you very much for writing this email to us, Mubashir Hussain Asher from India. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And from Spain, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. Arthur says, "Thank you very much for your message and informing about the QSL sent from your radio. I hope to receive one of them as a confirmation of my old reception reports. Thanks in advance. Have a nice week. Let me wish you all the best and stay healthy." Salam and warm greetings to you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and many thanks for sending us this email. Of course, we at IRIB English Radio wish you all the best in life. Peace, joy, good tidings, and of course, health. And we're so happy that have you with us. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon and reflect your views in your upcoming emails. Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. After a short break, I will be back with another email. Welcome back. You just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music. Do you enjoy it? I was wondering if you enjoy these pieces of traditional Iranian music. Maybe you can reflect it in your emails or letters. Well, from India, as I said, we have an email from Mutaram Kaga. Mutaram Kaga from India says, "Hi, I am a new listener of Iranian English Radio Language Service, that is IRIB English Radio. I listen to your radio programs and visit your website time to time, and I have to say that both of them are interesting, but usually I only look at your news in the website. Please send me a QSL card or even an EQSL for confirmation. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you and welcome to the world of IRIB English Radio. We're so glad to have you with us as a new listener. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation because at the time of pandemic, it's not possible to send you a paper QSL card. So please keep in touch with us and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Muharram Kaga from India. Please stay with us. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I thank Thomas Biliaskos, Mizanu Rahman, Paul Makuza, Muharram Kaga, Shivon De Paul, Fabricio Andrade Silva, Mubashir Hussein Asher, Arthur Fernandez Lorella, all of them for sending us the reception reports and emails and letters from around the world. We wish you all the best. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do.